Father God, I thank you for Sam and for all that she is and all that she does and all that she knows. I pray for her today for courage and clarity and that she may speak like Peter spoke. Bless her today, speak through her, and may we all go away with a word of yours in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. How precious is our freedom? Last week we heard about the gifts of the Spirit and how these are tools and not toys. Hopefully you've done your homework and you've read 1 Corinthians chapter 12 concerning spiritual gifts for the common good. Wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, miraculous power, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, and interpreting them. I have a sense today that God wants to release some of those gifts amongst us as a community. This week I wanted to carry on this theme as we look at how following the ascension of Jesus into heaven, the Holy Spirit worked powerfully through the apostles to build the early church. Today we will be looking at chapter 2 in Acts, page 1093. There'll be a moment if you want to grab a Bible from the book back or turn to your own Bible. My dad is Bob the Builder, and over the years he did many, many building projects. Some of you may have met him. He comes along to the Wellbeing Cafe on a Monday morning, and one of the things that he taught me was the most important part of a building project is getting the foundations right. Have you ever noticed with building projects that the longest phase is at the beginning? The starting phase of a project that seems to take forever, putting in the services, the structure, all the work that happens underground, out of sight, takes the longest. And then the first bricks are laid above the ground, and within a short space of time, we see the fabric of the building coming together, and we go, oh, that went up quick. You'll have all heard of DIY SOS. Nick Knowles and his team come along and help out families who have tried to go it alone. The do-it-yourselves or do-it-themselves DIY jobs. But it's all gone horribly wrong, or it's been left unfinished, or they haven't had the right tools or the resources to do the job. This is the way of the world. But Jesus wants to teach us another way. In Romans 12, he says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. So I want us to think about this building project in a different way. This isn't just about what I can do, but what we can all do together, unified with the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1, we heard how the church had been waiting for the Spirit. There was 10 days before Jesus' ascension and the celebration of Pentecost. It must have seemed like the longest prayer meeting ever. But this and everything that had gone before and led up to this moment was setting the right foundations for the building of the most phenomenal church. The Holy Spirit came, and from that day forth, Pentecost would be not only a celebration of the giving of the law to the Jewish people, but also the giving of the Holy Spirit to all of God's people. So let's dive in. Acts chapter 2, starting at verses 14. Peter addresses the crowd. Then Peter stood up with the... apologies. Okay, let's dive in. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. You will not let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and he knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it, exalted to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the hearts and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Wow. Thanks be to God. One moment. This is the first of a number of powerful speeches recalled by Luke in Acts, and this one was given by the Apostle Peter. Jesus gave him the name Peter because he was the rock on which the church's foundation was built. Peter did not preach in tongues. He spoke in everyday Aramaic that they understood. It was a speech given by a Jew to the Jews and those that were gathered there on a Jewish holy day about the resurrection of the Messiah whom their nation had crucified. Peter knew better than anyone the anguish and pain of denying Jesus. He had been fearful in the Garden of Gethsemane, but now he was transformed and empowered by the Holy Spirit to speak boldly and clearly to a large crowd about his friend and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Peter later opens the door of faith for the Gentiles when he visits Cornelius in Acts 10, and we'll come to that a little later in our sermon series. The early church had none of the things that we think are essential for success today: buildings, money, political influence, social status. Yet many people found faith in Jesus, and many churches were established throughout the Roman world. Why? Because they had the power of the Holy Spirit energizing their ministry. The early church was not a building, but a body of many people who were ignited by the Spirit of God. So Peter's message explains to us what happened. The Spirit speaks through us. How it happened. Jesus is the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of all. And why it happened. Because Jesus is the way, the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. We will unpack these a little. So first of all, what happened? The Spirit came to dwell in the people, and they had a physical, emotional, and spiritual experience. They heard the sound of rushing wind, and they saw tongues of fire. The Spirit baptized, and they were Spirit-filled. I want to share a little of my own story with you. I was baptized when I was about 10 years old, the same age as my son is now. At that age, I was convicted by the Spirit, and I knew without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus was my friend and my Saviour. It was all I talked about, and I'm sure it must have been really annoying for my friends and my family. My parents didn't have a faith. My dad had been raised in a Catholic tradition, so we always ate fish on a Friday, and mostly still do, but that was about it. But Jesus found me when I was about 7 years old, and I was on fire for him. That could only have been the Spirit working through me. At that age, I didn't have a lot of emotional baggage, and over the years, believe me, I've picked up a lot. Many times later in life, I've prayed for the faith that I had as a child. The joy in knowing Jesus without all the other stuff holding me back. Maybe that's something that you can relate to. I sense some of you might be carrying some things that have been weighing you down, and the Spirit wants to release you of those things. Jesus said in Matthew 11, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." For some today, this is the day that God wants to say to you, in the same way that Elsa did, let it go. And release you from those burdens. Back to the passage. Firstly, Peter rebukes the crowd for thinking that they were drunk. This was not possible because it was before 9 o'clock in the morning and unheard of for Jews to be drinking at that time of day. Nope. The babble was the fulfillment of a prophecy many, many years ago, and Peter explains the miraculous events, speaking in tongues, as the fulfillment of Joel's prophecy. God will pour out his Spirit on his people. Why did God do this? We need to go all the way back to Genesis 11. It was a reversal of God's judgment at the Tower of Babel, when God confused the languages of all people. God's judgment at Babel scattered the people. But God's blessing at Pentecost united the believers in spirit. At Babel, they didn't understand each other. But at Pentecost, people heard God's praises and understood what was said. The building of Babel was an act of rebellion, whereas Pentecost was an act of humble submission to God. As a child of faith, my roots were shallow. And like the parable of the sower, although the seed had been sown, I hit rocky times in my teenage years, and my dad's best friend passed away, and my best friend lost her father. I couldn't get my head around why God had let those things happen. And I was heading off to secondary school, and I didn't have a community of faith around me. I wandered off the path and was consumed by the world and grief for a while. But life carried on. I didn't go to church, but I did end up at university, mainly to avoid paying rent. After uni, I bought a ticket to go travelling around the world, and with a couple of friends, we set off through Asia, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, New Zealand, Australia, and eventually South Africa. It was an amazing time. But by the time I got to New Zealand, I was about 21 years old. I had one burning question on my mind. I'm maybe going to try and sing. You may have heard of De La Soul. What's the meaning? What's the meaning of life? And that was the question that I kept asking myself. I looked for the answer in all sorts of different places. New Zealand is a particularly spiritual country. I worked on an organic farm and learnt about different philosophies, Reiki, tarot, channeling, all sorts of things. And I witnessed things that made me realise that these things do hold power. But my mind was open to exploring all things. I ended up at a hostel, kiwi picking, in order to earn some money. But it was an El Nino year, and the pickings were slim, and there was very little work. The owners of the hostel were Christians, and they invited many of us to attend an Alpha course, which came with a free meal, always motivated by food. And so, of course, I went along. The Spirit Day involved a weekend away at a retreat, and on the Saturday night, we were in a worship meeting singing God's praises. I was beginning to feel the presence of God again in my life. I stepped to one side and two ladies came to pray for me. One was speaking in tongues, but I didn't know what she was saying. But I started to have an all-over body experience. It started at the tips of my toes and gradually worked through me to the top of my head. I could still hear the worship of others as the Spirit filled me. I had my eyes closed, but I could see clearly that Jesus was with me, and what I could feel was so, so good. It was wholesome, it was pure, it was light. I was being filled with the fullness of God, and I fell in the Spirit. Thankfully, one of the ladies lowered me to the floor, and I just rested in his presence. I do not share this to boast, but because that was my experience, your experience will be different, because we are all different, and God knows each one of us and what we need. This was a whole body experience, not an out-of-body experience. God created our bodies, and despite their flaws, He loves our bodies. When His Spirit comes to live in us, our body becomes a temple for God. No longer did God need to reside in a tabernacle in the Holy of Holies. The Spirit had been released so that we could all know Him in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls. My body is a temple. This is a phrase that has created much laughter in our household over the years. We laugh because we look at our bodies and we just don't see it. With all their weird bits, the parts that embarrass us, the parts that don't quite work right, the parts that let us down, the parts that cause us pain. My eyes do not always see what is right in front of me or my husband's. My mouth constantly says things wrong. My hands are not productive and my feet stumble. You get the picture. But for some of us today, I think God wants to say to you, I love your body. I made your body and I long to dwell in you and with you. You are enough. You are good and pleasing to me. And as Bridget Jones would say, just as you are. So how did it happen? Jesus is the Messiah and the King of Kings. Peter boldly proclaims that Jesus of Nazareth was attested by God through miracles, crucified by human hands, but raised from the dead by God. He cites Psalm 16 to show that David foresaw the resurrection, affirming that Jesus is not abandoned to death, but exalted at God's right hand. Jesus was crucified, he was risen, and he was exalted. Jesus' life and miracles were public and undeniable. The people in the crowd were those who had witnessed Jesus' ministry in those preceding 3 years. Many of them would have known him much longer than that. They would have known him as a man, as a mere mortal on this earth. And now they were fully understanding that he was also not of this world, but he was God. Jesus the Messiah, no longer just the King of the Jews, but the King of all kings. His death was foreknown by God, but carried out by human hands. God raised him up. Death couldn't hold him. Peter uses Psalm 16 and Psalm 110 to show Jesus is the promised Messiah. And why did it happen? Here's the heart-piercing truth. This all happened for me and for you and you and you and you and you and you. This marked the beginning of the last days where divine revelation becomes accessible to all in equal measure. Men, women, young, old, free men and slaves, whatever your color, ethnicity, sexuality or disability, God didn't need labels. He was the creator of humanity. So if you are a human being, then this applies to you. After hearing Peter's message, the crowd is cut to the heart and asks what they should do. Peter responds, "Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." This invitation is extended to one and all, marking a radical inclusivity in the early church. But what does this mean for us today? I think God has been speaking to us today and wants to continue to do so as we move into a time of prayer and continue our conversations with him. So I want to leave you with this prayer, which the Apostle Paul wrote to the early church in Ephesus. "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."